Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 17.5.
Woo! I'm almost an adult. Wait, no. I don't want to be an adult. I already do that. I paid that. No, go back.
So while we're still clinging on to legally being children here, us as actual adults are going to talk about comic books in this review issue. So, without any further ado,
explain to me what Team Plus is. Is that like, 17? I don't understand that.
I don't know. I'm checking all my ratings, just making sure I'm old enough to do this.
Yeah. What's that?
Mine have, two of them have Team Plus.
What's that? What's that bit in Futurama where, like, the professor, like, gets younger or whatever? Oh, man, now I have to get a fake ID to watch Ultra Porn.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I love the fact that we quote these things. It's great.
We're not nerds, guys.
Nope. We are not nerds. Anyway, let's talk about some comic books, guys.
Yay!
I'm fascinated by the number of comics I have in front of me that are in the first row of the comic book wall. Like, how many are A's and B's?
All right, well, starting at the beginning of the alphabet, let's get into it, Matt.
Sure. I'm going to do two quick hits here. I've got Angelic, number 5.
five,
and Batman, number 39 variant cover. Because it's got Wonder Woman wearing Batman's cape.
His is prettier than mine. I'm pretty upset about that right now.
Angelic, number 5. This series has been great. It's been really, really fun. This is definitely the exposition issue. Issue 6 is the end of the first story arc. So 5 is the word vomit dump. But I found myself really, really wanting and being satisfied by the word vomit dump. So, yeah. Angelic, definitely one of those if you haven't picked it up yet.
What do you mean by word vomit dump? Just like a lot of exposition?
Oh, it's totally the exposition issue.
Oh, okay.
It's like, this is what happened to the mans.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, yeah, we get a lot of background story, which I've been wanting. And I think this has been a great book for world building. So, yeah. I'm going to highlight Batman 39 because... Patrick and I have specifically been having some conversations about singular issues versus a writer that's good at the full overarching story. And Tom King is really good at threading the balance between both. So this is written by Tom King with art by Joel Jones. And I really need to highlight that because...
Freaking killing it.
DC, put her on Wonder Woman.
Yes, beautiful.
Make Wonder Woman a monthly and put Joelle Jones on Wonder Woman.
I want to frame some of those in my room.
So I'm just going to read two pages to you. Batman appears in full medieval armor and Catwoman starts laughing at him.
That's legit.
She says, "You look ridiculous." This is Wonder Woman's response. No, please do not listen to that. You do not look ridiculous. You look... ridiculous. Well, yes, a bit. But very much I'm not one to say. All men who try to fight look ridiculous to me. If you could all just see yourselves all eager for battle with weapons so tough... It really does not suit your gender.
Oh, my God, just the sheer amount of battle. Yes!
In two pages, Tom King says, boom, I understand Wonder Woman, guys. And it was amazing. So, yeah, pick up this book. This reads pretty fantastic as a standalone that's going to continue with issue 40. It's just amazing. And... I literally drooling over all of Joelle Jones' Wonder Woman art.
I don't think I am going to drop. I'm pretty sure I'm probably just going to hold on to Batman, which says a lot.
Yeah. Two big old thumbs up on those.
My turn?
Uh-huh.
So, I picked up some random ones. I figured I'd kind of take a page out of Patrick's book on that one and review comics I haven't reviewed before, though I guess I am going to review... one that I've reviewed. Anyways, so moving on, before I get lost down that rabbit hole, I picked up Superman Action Comics number 995.
Only 995.
Kind of, honestly. This is the first Superman comic that I've read in Rebirth, mostly because I just don't like his characterization very much right now. I guess. It's like a meh. It's like a moot point for me at this point.
Interesting.
I mean, I haven't really read any, so I can't really say that. But, I mean, stemming from this one, I'm like, okay. I honestly think I probably enjoy the the Jor-El ones. Those ones are probably really good. Because I mostly just want to see a story about just Superman. I don't care about Lois Lane. I don't care about his son. I just want to see one about Superman, damn it.
Gotcha.
That's fair.
Yeah, I want to see his character development, not his character development with alongside their character. I don't. Anyway, so Dan Jurgens is our writer, and Brett Booth is our main artist. This one's featuring Booster Gold, and it's pretty Booster Gold heavy. I know, like, bits and pieces about Booster Gold, and that's mostly just from Justice League.
It's fantastic.
No, he's freaking hilarious.
He is hilarious.
It's pretty Booster Gold heavy, and I mean, you see Lois Lane make an appearance, and she's, like, trying to save her father, and actually being a badass for once, and I'm over here wondering when that's gonna go topsy-turvy and her kid's gonna save her. And it's more of a story about Booster Gold's origin, which is actually really fucked up. I never knew that. Yeah, his origin story in this one is basically his dad is a horrible human being, and he used to be like a star football player. And his dad was actually using him to win bets at football games. So he would tell him to lose and tell him when to win.
Wow.
Yeah, shit like that. And his mom got sick. Like, it's actually a pretty sad story. And the fact that he's such a comical character still is really impressive.
Huh.
And apparently he even, all of his equipment he actually stole from the past, or from the future as well. So it was really, it's really interesting. His story's pretty interesting. It's just, I'm like, yeah, Superman Action Comics, Booster Gold. Okay. I'll read the next one because they end up being dropped in, it looks like, It's time travel heavy, everybody, so if you hate time travel...
It's Booster Gold.
Yeah.
Time travel is core to the character.
Pretty much. I mean, overall, I was pretty mad to it, because like I said, I wanted a Superman, and I got more of a Booster Gold, and I'm like, okay. But it looks like at the end of this, they get dropped in a... They get dropped where they're at, and it somehow... They must have screwed something up. Because the first thing they see is a giant statue of Zod asking who their allegiance is to.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, Zod's a douchebag, so I always like seeing him. He's a horrible person, man.
So, Patrick, what do you have for us, then?
I'm going to do a quick run-through of five comics that I've been keeping up with, and if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that I love all these, and I continue to love them. So, I got Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 28. It's space opera now, so awesome. Yeah, I know, right? Just look at that cover.
So, from the Savage Lands to space?
Yeah, exactly. Right from the Savage Lands into distant planets with... alien squirrels, Galactus holograms, imposter silver surfers, and real silver surfers.
That's confusing and awesome.
Yeah, it is.
All at once. Oh my god, I thought you were going to review X-Men Red. The back of it just says X-Men Red. Oh, I was like, yeah. Patrick, I'm disappointed in you.
No, I refuse to pick up X-Men titles. The more colors, the less interest I have. So I think this is The Unbelievable Gwenpool number 24.
That's just great.
A little bittersweet because this one is coming to an end soon. I think this might be the last story arc.
I
think 25 is it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's really bittersweet, too, because she's running around with Bat-Rock the Leaper.
Bat-Rock the Leaper.
And they're robbing a Sky Casino. And she even mentions... And towards the end of it, it's really fun. It's a really fun read. They steal gold. She throws it out of the panels and catches it, like, later in the book after they escape. and she mentions to Bat-Rock at the end of it, like, after they're back in, like, their room or whatever, she's like, I'm really sorry, Bat-Rock. And he's like, why? And she's like, well, when my book is over, I don't think any writer is going to treat you the same as you've been in this book, where he's kind of, like, actually, like, a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more of, like, that, more of, like, an anti-hero, like, mm-hmm. thief. And,
okay.
Like, a really interesting character instead of just being Captain America's French, like, counterpart, French villain. And so it's, like, kind of a sad thing. She's, like, Yeah, she's like, you're not going to be like this for much longer. And he says, like what? And he says, when this book is over, other writers aren't going to think of Batroc the Leper in the same way. And, well, I'm sorry. And
it's sad.
It is sad. So, I don't know.
I love when they talk shit.
Yeah.
In comics about Marvel itself. It's great.
Yeah. Gwenpool is definitely, like, the best one for that. Anyway, moving on. I promised this would be short, and it's already longer than I expected. Jeff Lemire, Royal City, number 9. Amazing, great, awesome. Keep killing it, Jeff Lemire. Mr. Miracle, number 6. Awesome, great. Like, escape scene with domestic... It's like escape from space prison with the main dialogue being about domestic life, specifically redoing their apartment. It's that's just awesome.
Fantastic.
And then last, I got Miss Marvel, number 26. Really great. Miss Marvel hasn't been in this one, hasn't been in the last one. And what happens when a superhero disappears and people try to pick up their mantle.
Ooh.
So, really awesome. Yeah. Her first big villain is back, but she's not there. So,
nice.
Really interesting stuff. And all of, like, her good friend and two of her good friends and brother-in-law and other good friend, like, try to pick up the slack. Even though they still don't know that she's Miss Marvel, I guess.
Gotcha. But they're so close to it, they are inspired by.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's really cool. Awesome. Great. Killing it. So what else do you have for us, Matt?
So once again, inspired by Patrick to pick up something I haven't read on the shelves, I grabbed Green Arrow 36. I haven't read a Green Arrow issue since Rebirth started. Just read the first one. But I found myself going, huh. I'm following both of the artists on Twitter. Why am I not just reading the book that these two people draw?
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is Green Arrow written by Benjamin Percy with art by Juan Ferreira. Beautiful names. Sorry, I just had to do that. I was super surprised to open this up and find that there are a lot of ties to the Arrowverse, the CW...
Mm.
TV show. I loved this. I might actually start picking up Arrow as a, or Green Arrow as a monthly. Black Canary is so cool and is definitely like the star of the show, but it is a family drama about how screwed up Ollie's relationship is with the different members of his family. But if you have any familiarity with like the first season, especially of Arrow, you can jump right in. I'm in the middle of a story arc. I don't know what happened in the previous issue. I just went, all right, well, cool. I'm just going to read this because the art looks really sweet. And it deals with Red Arrow, who is not related to Ollie, but there's a weird familial tie because of Merlin. And, yeah, I found myself getting really into the emotional aspects of the fight as it happened. And then... major end moment where characters are sacrificing each other's to save each other, and yeah, and all of this is behind this gorgeous weird like colored pencil watercolor heavy ink line art style that's just awesome to look at. Yeah, there's the scenes with Dinah pulling Ollie out of the water, and it's just amazing to see how much he's reliant on her. She's really, really the powerhouse in their relationship with each other.
Interesting. The art style almost is, in certain areas, is reminiscent of like medieval architecture if it had like depth.
Yeah.
Like,
I understand.
Not architecture, medieval sorry, art. Yeah.
It's like Beauty and the Beast. Not Beauty and the Beast.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very gothic.
I always
and
love
this
that.
Is just an absolutely after thanking Ollie for being alive, Dinah then grabs him squarely by the back of the neck and just racks him full on, like just don't ever do something stupid to me again.
Yeah. Like that's a.
And it's like
possibly not having children again. Like,
this is Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo special move finishing thing with all of the laser lights coming out.
Straight to the crotch.
Straight to the crotch. But yeah, absolutely fun. I'm I'm really excited to read more of Green Arrow, actually. And, you know, some titles that I'm reading are finishing, so that was a good exercise. So I'm glad I did that.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Well, what else do you got for us, Kat?
Oh, God, this was great. Harley Quinn number 34. It's the last arc that Amanda Connor and Jim... I always say his name wrong. What is it? Jim Palmiotti?
Palmiotti.
Are doing... Oh, my God, it was awesome. It was freaking great. The entire time I'm reading this, I'm, like, chuckling away. And I just have to highlight the best part to the book is she actually goes to them. Like, she breaks into their house while Jim is writing. Like, you could see him on his laptop physically typing this up. And she comes in just ready to bust face.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, she actually screams at his name, too. Yeah.
Just runs in. But I have to, you have to, I gotta read one quote when she actually goes to Amanda Connor, because it's freaking great. It's awesome. Because she's like, where's that husky of yours?
That's hilarious.
He's like, at work? I hear music upstairs. But yeah,
great.
Literally bitches to them about all the problems that I think anybody has ever said about it.
That's
so she's like, hey, Connor, I'm coming for you. Get ready for some, oh, hello, kitty cat. Get ready for some hammering and whamming. Do you have any idea how much it costs to keep up with your constant costume changes? And she's like, got her headphones on. And she's like, and the way you draw me, would it kill you to give baby a little more back once in a while?
That's hilarious.
So she comes in and smashes the table and comes back with, and what's with all the supporting characters? Who the hell has time to keep track of them? And she's like, hey, Quinn, quit your world famous whining. You're in like every DC title, ass loads of video games, animated shows, and movies. You have a best selling Halloween costume, and what? You bust in here and destroy our workspace? Is that the thanks we get? You better cut the crap.
That's awesome.
It's just great. I just love that entire two pages. It's just so much. She's like, where's that hard-headed hussy of yours? Visiting your parents? Nice try. Here's something upstairs.
It's amazing, like, if a book is so funny that while talking about it, you're laughing. It's like, that's a pretty high praise for that.
Well, the other thing is, too, is she's like, just because you lived in Brooklyn doesn't mean everyone wants to live there. I moved out ages ago, and you dragged me back in. You and Loverboy downstairs need to understand. It's a big world out there. She's just, like, pissed and screaming at her. And then the best part to that other panel, too, that I mentioned, where she's, like, screaming at for all the side characters, used to be all I had to focus on was Mr. J and a few bad guys in a bat hole. But now...
A bat hole?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's just, oh, my God, it was great. And then you get the classic Ivy... More than friendship in here, and it's just all of it was it's all wonderful. It was great. I was laughing so hard. They even talk about her her hyenas too that end up in a zoo, and it's just, oh my God, it's all just wonderful, beautiful. It was hilarious.
Are you reading Harley regularly, or was this kind of a just pull off the
wall? No, because I had I remembered reading that this would be like the last issue of that arc, and so I was curious what they were gonna do. So I picked it up, and I was like, oh, yes, there's one left. So I picked it up, and I was not disappointed by any means. That's cool. It was great. I freaking loved it. I thought it was beautiful. It was so damn funny.
Cool. Patrick, I think you're up then.
Cool. Well, I got a quick two that I'm going to run through. I guess I'll talk about Adventure Time X Regular Show. This is number 6 of 6, so... The final, I think I missed the previous issue, actually, so I was a little confused when I started out. And honestly, like, it kind of ended on a slump, so I was really excited because Adventure Time and Regular Show are two amazing cartoons that I love a lot, and I was hoping with the crossover, what we would get is just a lot of, like, character interaction between the two worlds, just, like, some great, like, bits of dialogue, and it had a little bit of that in there. Not really, like, between the two worlds. It was more it more focused on solidifying, like, the main friendships in it, like, between Mordecai and Rigby of Regular Show, and then Finn and Jake of Adventure Time.
That's lame.
Instead of getting, like, a lot of crossover that they could have gotten. And also, most of this end issue is just, like, a big fight, too, which I was also a little disappointed in, that, like, these two shows that, like, really focus on, like, character building and, like, the character arcs. Instead, in this comic, it's really such a plot-driven story that it almost sacrifices the character's growth for the sake of some, like, whatever's happening. I don't even care about the plot arc that much. So interesting. Starts Regular Show, Adventure Time Regular Show crossover. Definitely starts with a bang and kind of goes downhill from there. So if you're a huge fan of both the shows, it's worth reading. If not, I might not start with this as your intro to either show. That's all I have to say about that. And then New Superman number 19. I'm just giving this one a quick mention, because they're switching creative teams on this. So, Jean-Luen Yang, my man, the reason I started reading this book, is no longer writing it. Instead, we have, let's see if I can find the credits page real quick here.
It's usually in the back. If it's not the first page, it's like one of the last.
Yeah. So not only is it switching creative teams, it's switching story arc. Okay, here we go. We got writer is Mariko Tamaki, and penciler is Brent Peoples.
Nice.
That's an interesting last name,
Brent. My name sounds familiar.
So this one's interesting because this is all from the perspective of Lainey Lan, the, reporter for, and it took me until this issue to get it.
That's awesome.
Actually,
I'm already triggered.
she's a lot cooler already than Lois Lane though.
I'm just upset. Yeah.
So it's all from her perspective and her, like, wanting to get the scoop on the new Superman and, like, knowing more about his family than he does, actually, from her journalistic things. There's, like, she knows that his mom is, like, the scientist that gave him the powers and his dad is, like, the supervillain. This is also, like, a little bit of a flashback to, like, earlier in Superman's story, and it takes up, like, where Lainey is in this, and then she's, like, talking with her mom and her dad, which is, like, a really interesting backstory, actually, that, like, her mom is still in China, and her dad, like, moved to the U.S. to do business, and ended up, like, to expand his business to support his family back in China, and ended up separating from his mom and, like, marrying an American woman and having a kid over there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's, like, really, I don't know, really interesting. And so, yeah, it's really cool. I was kind of sad when I saw that Jean was no longer doing this, but Tamaki, so far, one issue in, is also killing it, keeping up the good work. So, and that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I have, some positive news for you, Patrick.
Yes.
That was a one-shot storyline, and the title will now change names at issue number 20. It's going to be called New Superman and the Justice League of China.
Oh, wow.
And it is written by Jean-Luen Yang.
Yay!
Okay. However, Brent Peoples is now the new ongoing artist in the title.
Okay. So, the art style was so similar that, like, initially reading this, I didn't notice the artistic change.
That's the third major change on the book, I believe. Because it was originally Victor Bogdanovich, who, like, I wanted him just doing any title because his art is great. And then it switched over to Billy Tan. Mm-hmm. And now it's going over to Brent Peoples. And I want to highlight this because I honestly think the cover for Justice League of China, New Superman Justice League of China number 20, might be my favorite cover of 2018 thus far. It is a new costume for the new Superman.
Or at least a new, at least a new symbol.
Yeah. And it's just, but that whole look is fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens, and that's really interesting because the actually,
trade paperbacks of those and go through them because it.
Yeah, because
that's pretty dope. I kind of saw glimpses of that earlier.
Speaking of the Justice League of China, at the end of this book, you know how it does like the to be continued, and then like next, like they'll usually give the title or whatever.
Right.
The next arc is, or it says next. The Aquaman of North Korea.
Ooh.
So, I have no idea.
All right, so, Matt, I will means. Be subscribing to that. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for from some new titles to re-pick up or to switch over, and I'm... That cover sold me so much that I'm just like, I'm going for it.
And the fact that we're getting a North Korean Aquaman, like, what does that mean? Like, how does that mean? Who does that mean? Why does that mean?
Is it like...
I just want it!
I'm picturing, like, the complete opposite of what, like, Jason Momoa, and it's like this guy in a suit who's a, like, fighting for environmental rights.
Aquaman I don't think North Korea is very concerned with environmental rights. It's just throwing
but
that out
the
there.
Aquaman of North Korea.
That's true. So that's interesting. So far we have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Robin of China.
Really?
And the new the arc, Flash.
The new arc is called Seas of Change.
Oh,
sorry.
Alright, so my laptop's on the floor now.
We got the Flash. And we're getting an Aquaman, apparently.
See, now I need to read all of these.
I don't know, maybe we'll get a Green Lantern next. There's like 40 Green Lanterns.
You know, that's funny, like, that would be really cool if they did a synthetic Green Lantern. So it was like technology that made the lantern as opposed to trying to.
Well, that's what they've been doing so far with all these things. I guess the Wonder Woman of China is technically still like a demigoddess of Chinese mythology.
So like, cool.
I feel like I'm just about to go blow $30 on trades, goddammit. Right?
But Batman and Superman are like creations of the Chinese government, basically. The Flash is actually the American. There was like, I guess she appeared in a Flash a while ago.
Oh yeah, because there was the first arc of Rebirth had like a whole bunch of people got powers, like speed powers.
So. Yeah, so I guess she was one of those, and now she's like a Chinese American, and now she's back in China with the JLC, and then Batman.
Ooh,
made,
like that.
What,
JLC just sounds good for some reason.
Dude, I honestly would love to have like a, at this point I'm like, can we have a showdown of the JLA? Well, I don't know who's in the JLA anymore. But I'm like, let's have all of these characters just maybe go at it for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm down. I want to see a war.
I kind of dig the Chinese Superman better than the normal one. Anyway. Right now.
No one can see how offended I am, but the tone of my voice should carry it.
Yeah, I mean, they already did a...
don't they fight?
They fought the Suicide Squad at one point.
Yeah, and Superman appeared in the book, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure him and the Chinese one fought, didn't they?
I can't remember now. I think they didn't fight, but there's been a lot of like Superman type things in it. Like there's Emperor Superman also.
There was the Action Comics where all of the Superman gathered together and he was in it. I know that much.
Or did I just do a pose for no reason?
You did a pose for no reason.
So
just in case everybody's curious,
so
Matt
the new
did a
Superman,
pose for no reason.
Superman does appear in the new Superman a
lot. I
know
he does.
And he speaks Mandarin, too. I didn't know that. But
that's cool. And that makes sense.
Well,
actually.
He's a hero of the world. That doesn't surprise me by any means. And he's super, super intellectual.
Well, and the
way
and that's something that's underplayed. Anyway.
Yeah, which like totally makes sense when you think about it because he doesn't come off as being that smart, but like he really is.
He's like, I break things.
He's actually like fluent in Mandarin.
So is
Lex Luthor. I really love that.
Insane.
Actually, like about the the new Superman, they still do, and in the beginning of every issue they say it, all the words printed in blue are English words and everything else is in Mandarin. And so, like, it gives you, like, it, like, reading through it, it doesn't, like, take you out of the story, but, like, every now and then it just reminds you that this is a purely Chinese, like, book. It is by Asian creators, specifically Chinese American creator, for, like, in China, for whatever audience.
All I really heard is I'm about to blow, like, $40.
I know, right?
I will be digging through back issues later. All right. My turn, then.
Yeah, and Lainey Lan is much more interesting than Lois Lane.
Yeah, I will let you know on that one.
So,
There's that severe hate for Lois Lane, so who's...
Well, she's an entirely different person. That's true. Absolutely no connection to her, except the fact that she's a female journalist.
We will see how that lands.
So anyway, what else do you have for us, Nat?
I have Sword of Ages number 2 out of IDW. It's written and illustrated by Gabriel Rodriguez. So I really, really care about this world, and I
like... Do you care about the characters?
Not really. That's the unfortunate, like... And this, it feels like a artist transitioning to being an artist and writer, and a lot of ideas, and they're all really good, but there's so much cross-cutting, it feels like, get on with the part of the story that's really interesting, and not giving us too much of the side character stuff. I mean, you can tell this stuff in flashback after an event occurs, but right now we're still getting to know everybody, and it's just like, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, and it's like, I was about to ask,
because, like, I know you like a lot of, like, shows and books that do take a lot of time to establish the world without necessarily getting into the plot, so...
Right. And so, this is... I don't know. Like, there's something about... The art is so fantastic that I will just keep reading this, because it's just, like, it's just, you know...
I'm glad you can do that. Gorgeous to stare at. I know.
You're not going to keep reading it. You're just going to keep looking at it.
Yeah, right.
See, I've always helped... I span you two, because Patrick's pretty firm on writing. If the writing sucks, he's not in it.
Yeah.
But if the writing's good and the art sucks... He's for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's like the opposite.
Thank you.
He's like, God, yeah. This story is awful, but look at that picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's so pretty. And then exactly. I sit and span it, and I'm like, is the writing bad? Is the art bad?
As long as it has at least mediocre art and writing gets into it.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, see,
that's,
prime example is...
The hell is it called? I can't even think of it now.
Hellboy.
No.
Hellblazer.
No, DC Young Animals.
Hellfire. Oh, Mother Panic.
Mother Panic. Prime example. The art style, like, actually, like, triggers me a little bit, but the writing's so good that I'm like, yes.
That's cool. Which, speaking of Mother Panic, they're going to get a Batman crossover soon.
They're also getting a Mother Panic AD. It's another one.
Oh, really?
Yep, I don't remember when it's coming out.
A Mother Panic what?
It's like Mother Panic AD. She, like, leaves for a while, and then she comes back, and everything will change.
Yeah, they all of the Young Animal titles, I think with the exception of Doom Patrol, are changing names.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go into, like, another step of the evolution of what
I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
Future review.
Yeah. Okay.
Look forward to the X-Men Red future review.
I'm actually half tempted to pick that up and read it so I can eat. So the rule of thumb is I can't bitch about it unless I read it. So if I want to bitch, like I gotta
best,
read it.
It's like the best X-Men issue in years. We're like,
we all need to shut the hell up now.
But yeah, so I'm gonna keep picking up Sword of Ages just for the creator. There was a lot of this where I was reading it and I was almost like I was reading Legend of Zelda fan fiction. Like, and I'm okay with that. Like, I could use more of that in my life, to be honest. Especially
not
from
everyone.
My,
I'm not.
Yeah. And it's just, there's not enough time spent on the other characters to make them interesting. I just want the main story at this point. And the main adventure is really cool. And there's this being smart about the situations you're in. And it is truly like a hero's journey, A to B story. That's what we're looking at. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I just know that I'm enjoying it because I enjoy the art.
Yeah.
What's happening.
That's fair. That's fair. Alright, what else do you have for us?
My turn! So, I have Wonder Woman number 38.
Hey, Kat, quick question. Are you a fan of Wonder Woman?
I mean, sure, right. I mean, I didn't just, start dating somebody who was like, Marvel's so great, Marvel's so awesome, DC shit, watches Wonder Woman. Okay, Wonder Woman's my favorite hero. Damn! I have converted and I am touched.
Into the Church of Wonder Woman.
Into the Church of DC and Wonder
and
Woman.
Doing the sign of the W.
Yeah. The double W.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, so good. Anyways. So we have James Robinson as our main writer, and then Emmanuel, I cannot say it.
Lupacino.
That's what it was. I was like, I feel like I'm going to say it right, but no, that does first. As our main artist, I will say his artwork is great. I actually love his rendition of Wonder Woman. It's really, really pretty. I think she looks awesome. And I meet her brother for the first time, who I don't particularly care for. I'm like, oh, cool. He's like an overage man-child. Alright. Or I'm sorry, he's a man-child. Cool. Neat. When they talk about him being a hero, and I'm just like, I don't care. He'll bust his ass anyways. I hope he turns out to be a supervillain, and you have to beat the shit out of him. Anyways. Side note gone. So, I read Wonder Woman after Greg Rucka and,
Nicholas Scott and Liam Schott.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No was the answer to that one. So I saw the cover of this sitting on the shelf, and I mean, technically, I've reviewed Wonder Woman before, so this wouldn't be anything new for me, but taking a side note from Patrick, I'm like, we'll try something else. And I saw the Wonder Woman title and the cover for it, and I'm like, you know what? That actually looks pretty good. So I picked it up, and I know some idea of what she's been going through, not a whole lot, because I haven't kept track. And I actually don't know Wonder Woman supervillains very well, either. I know Cheetah, and that's really about it. Oh, and then Ares, but...
Yeah.
Because... God of War and Greek mythology. Anyways, but I actually really like the story arc. It's called Swan Song Part 1. Really awesome, actually. It's, I was kind of impressed because I didn't actually know. I thought they had created a new character, so before I'd, like, put that in there, I actually Googled it. And Silver Swan is actually a character that has shown up before. And they kept her, I think, from... I think it was Gold Age.
Oh wow, so old school character.
I think yeah, she's like one of the first ones that she fought. I just know I can't remember what one that they're keeping intact with her character to somewhat, because the whole thing with the Silver Swan is she feels like Wonder Woman has abandoned, like she was somebody who was hurt, and in this one she was someone that Wonder Woman saved and spent so much time with, and like, do you see the perspective of the girl? I can't remember what her name is. But she stays with her, and it was, I'll have to see if I can find what her name is. But she was saying that, I can't even see what her name is. I don't remember. She eventually says, this is who I am, and she says it a couple times until eventually she turns into her evil alter ego and says, no, I'm not that person. I am the Silver Swan. Her biggest thing is she wants revenge against Wonder Woman because from the standpoint is she abandoned her when she needed it the most. And, like, she went through her... She saved Wonder Woman saved her from... I think it was a fight with... what the hell's his name? Disaster something. But she,
Disastro.
Major Disastro.
Major Disastro, that's what it was.
Oh, that name is a major disaster.
Yeah.
Major disaster.
So she feels like she was abandoned when she needed her the most because she ended up losing her ability to walk. Ooh. In this, because Major Disaster collapsed a building and it dropped on her legs, and she, of course, saved her and then spent so much time with her to help her out and everything like that, and she was told she'd never walk again, and Wonder Woman was... there trying to help her out. And she called her Diana. Like, she felt like she was best friends with Wonder Woman. And she ends up turning... The Silver Swan starts as somebody who's there to help Wonder Woman and be her guide and be friends with her. And eventually, she gets nanites in order to walk again and help with her spine injury. And something mysteriously happens and you don't really find out, but her mom dies in some freak accident. So she's left with no one, and Wonder Woman stops showing up and stops coming around, and she doesn't have her mom there to be like, hey, you know, she's busy. And she starts getting jealous and upset. She's like, we're not best friends anymore. Like, I was Wonder Woman's best friend, and now I'm not her best friend. And basically, it ends up, she saves some people, and the way that the Silver Swan gets her attention is comes through and kills these people who she had just saved. And I know that you said you didn't like her terror face, but honestly, I don't know if it's terror, but more of, oh my god, I saved these people and they've been butchered.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of the story, maybe.
But. Yeah. So, and that's when you get the final page and you get the first look at the Silver Swan, and Jesus Christ, I would not want to fuck with her.
Yeah, that's a pretty screwed up looking character design.
Yeah, like, and I don't, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about Silver Swan, but they kept the story relatively similar.
There's a, just looking she it just up learns, now, yeah. It's a character from the 80s, actually. 82 yeah, was when she that's was what created. It was.
Yeah, so she learns to, originally she's I guess the word obsessed would be good, but at the same time she's the only ray of light that she had.
It's kind of like, syndrome.
Not Stockholm Syndrome.
No, Syndrome, the character from The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah.
Was a big fan as a child and then became like a supervillain.
And learns to hate them, and that's basically what the Silver Swan is for Wonder Woman. And it's, I thought it was interesting. I've never seen the Silver Swan in that characterization. For something like that with Wonder Woman does make a whole lot of sense.
Fair enough.
Nice. All right, well, I got one more. This is The Future Adventures of Nick Wilson, number one, by Image Comics. I'm going to butcher all these last names.
Taking a point from
Eastern, like, Chechnya or something.
Jesus.
Like that. So we got written by Eddie Gorodetsky, Mark Andrieko, and illustrated by Steven Sadowski.
Ooh.
So.
Oh my god, I just realized there's a bong on the front page.
Yeah, that's basically. So there is a bong on the front page, and there is definitely a montage of Nick Wilson smoking that bong.
A montage?
A montage!
Not really a montage, but a good, like, two-thirds of a page.
Oh, yeah, it's like loading it up and everything. Yeah, like, it's a step-by-step.
Just watching TV. Yeah. Not just him hitting a bong, but, like, packing a bowl and turning on the TV, lighting it,
wow.
Coughing. So this is basically the story of what would happen to Superman if Superman lost his powers.
Okay.
So it's implied that years ago, Nick Wilson was a Superman-esque hero, flying, super strength, bulletproof, all, you know, the whole nine yards. And he just randomly lost his superpowers, as he says in this issue. He's just flying over a field in Iowa or Ohio or somewhere like that and just falls out of the sky. And he's like, lucky for me, I landed in a pile of shit. Like cow shit. So right now, I just love everything about the story so far. Like, the specific way it plays out, I'm kind of a little mad, but like everything that's happening is just awesome. Like, he basically is, he does like kids parties now in his costume, and they think he's a Nick Wilson like impersonator.
That's hilarious.
So he's like impersonating a Nick Wilson impersonator as himself, and like it opens up like with this montage of him, or this like sequence of him like putting on his uniform all dramatically. He's talking about this time he's flying a president around, and the president like throws up in his mouth, but he can still smell it. And then, like, the next page, it has, like, little kid vomiting on, like, his costume. And, like, this is great. He's just, like, so freaking depressed. Apparently, he went to celebrity rehab at one point before this.
This is going to sound bad, but it's, yeah. This guy sounds like if Superman was also a douchebag.
not really. Like, he's not a bad guy. No. He just, like, everything he was literally just stripped from him in one moment without any warning. Like, if... And then that was, like, years ago.
And, oh, shit. Like, okay.
Yeah, so this is, like, 3 or 4 years after he loses his powers. So this isn't, like, immediately. Mm. This is, like... It is, like, a while. He gets in a car crash and, like, you know, like, hurts his neck and stuff. Like, the least, like, superhero-y stuff that could possibly happen.
You know, I was kind of hoping he'd be fat.
He has a beer gut. He's not, like, fat, mm-hmm. but, like... Especially if you look at the cover, there's, like, a picture of him, like, before and after, like, up at the top there.
Oh,
and
shit.
So he, like, he's not, like, obese, but he's definitely, like...
Out of shape.
3 or 4 years, and he meets up with his old, like, fling, who's also, like, gained a little bit of weight.
And that's awesome.
Just, like, everything about this screams, like, stagnation and, like, semi-depression. Yeah, he's just, like, sitting there, like... eating Cheerios out of the box and, like, smoking weed, like,
and stuff like that. I'm sorry, that sounds like pretty that. Great. I can't believe
it. I know, right? So...
I'm just like, alright.
Yeah, it doesn't really delve... The one thing I was looking for that it doesn't really do is delve too much into, like, his psyche, I guess, and, like, how he actually feels about this stuff going on, which I'm hoping it will a little bit more in future adventure issues.
Okay.
So that was kind of the one thing that kept this from being a 10 in my book.
Okay, but it's pretty high.
I would call this a hard 7.8. So not quite an 8, because let's be fair here, 8s are like 8, 9, and 10 is like almost impossible. 10 is very few things that are 10s. Let's be real here. People throw around 10s way too much, and. So this is definitely a high 7, which like which is very good. I'm like the Russian judge in like the sports movies, you know, how they always have like the like it's like so high, and then there's like the one Russian judge who's like it is 6.
That's what you are in the scenario.
Ooh. Yeah, I feel like that's pretty good for like our like. Like trio here.
Yeah.
I feel like
I get like over lost and joke. Overzealous about things, and Patrick's like, it is 5.9.
Yeah. Like 10, 10, 11.
I'm
like it is an 8.
I mean it's an 8, an 8, an 8, or a 3. You know, yeah, like 3.
And I'm like 5 or 0. Like, this is a 0.
Patrick just let himself a sign that says bullshit.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it, like, it's spelled like S-H-Y-E-T. Bullshit. Oh, so yeah, man. Future adventures of Nick Wilson.
Further adventures?
Or further adventures. I don't know. I think I said future. Yeah. The further adventures of Nick Wilson. So already really interesting. Really excited to see where it's going. Image Comics still killing it.
Right, all day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anybody else have anything of note?
Yes, I'm going to have my last review today as it's POWs, Atlas, and Axis from Static Press. This is actually a reprint of a French comic book created, written, and drawn by POW.
All
right. This is the.
He's like, sure.
This is the first English official translation.
Like Prince, I guess. Like,
I guess.
I tried to go with Prince, and I'm like, sure.
Obama. I always, you know, somebody is important if they either have one name or three,
right?
Touche. Touche.
Touchy.
It's like it. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis, man. You know,
right?
Awesome. Paul Thomas Anderson, also up there.
That's hilarious. This is a cartoon book. It is definitely in line with Bone.
It actually does. I was going to say it looks pretty similar. Yeah.
Bone, Uncle Scrooge. Like, oh, it's adventure stories done in the anthropomorphized animals. And they're dogs. And they're dogs. I mean...
Like,
when they
style dogs.
When they
like, oh my gosh, we gotta go on an adventure. Squirrel!
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, when they meet new people sniffing each other's butts, like, the whole nine, when they camp out by the campfire, they curl up into these adorable little balls the way that uh-huh. dogs often do. There is a one page dedicated to a poop joke.
Jesus.
One full page.
You know what? Is there a cat in there? I feel like there needs to be a cat in there.
I haven't seen a cat yet.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So, but yeah, this is like, the attention to detail is just fantastic, and it is the first issue. This is the call to adventure, and our heroes are just like this dysfunctional duo where one is a much smarter dog. He's driven. He's deciphering maps.
Is it like Pinky in the Brain?
Not that level, oh, but the other one is like, is your sister coming? Because I'd like to sniff her butt. Like, and that's like the conversations they have with each other. So he clearly is not the one carrying the sword.
Oh my god, that's literally just like, is your hot sister going to sniff?
Exactly, exactly. Like, I don't know who this is geared towards because, yeah, it's Atlas is the one who's the slightly dumber of the two. And they run into a sheep that outsmarts them by ringing his bell that's supposed to be, like, the dinner bell.
Oh, my God. Are we doing Pablo?
It's so funny. Like, this is just a really great, like, enjoyable first part to a bigger adventure. And there's weird things. Like, for me, they find another group of dogs, and one of the things that they left behind is one of the dog's knives. And this is definitely, like, a wilderness setting where, like, people would carry, you know, pocket knives with them, you know, share food with each other, go on adventures, and it's an Opinel. And that's not important to a lot of people, but as, like, an aficionado, it was insane to see, like, one of the most famous French pocket knives, if not the most famous French pocket knife, and know it by name.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Know that that's exactly what he was drawing in these panels, because it is a highly stylized cartoony book, but that is an Opinel knife. And it's just this piece of, like, all of the story just feels so lived in and believable. And, like, he's going fishing, so you can see the fish with his giant eyes in the water, and it is so subtle, just looking up at him like, oh, crap. And then he just slams his sword into the water as if it's going to be successful at catching a fish. He's literally, there's the little fish there. He's
like, yeah.
Gah! It's like, this is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like everything felt like I was watching reading like a Warner Brothers animation with Disney aesthetic. It's like, it's just so cool. And I can't wait to read the rest of it. It's just so much fun. And like I said, I don't know the age range that this is supposed to be for, because there's a lot of adult innuendo, but then, like I said, a one full page dedicated to a poop joke.
That's legit.
It's great. Yeah, I was excited to have this on shelf, and I was really happy when I read it. So,
All right. So I guess I get to close it up, unless anybody's got anything else. But I got two left. So the first one is the one shot Harley Quinn. Be careful what you wish for. I'm really happy I picked this up because it was freaking hysterical. Like, within the first few pages, number one, she blows up a boat with a bazooka on accident, mind you. On accident.
Yep.
She, like, trips on a raft and, like, shoots it. She's like, oh! Oops! But it's Amanda Connor and Jim Palmiotti again. And, oh my god, I was laughing so hard. Like, within the first panels, Power Girl ends up saving Harley Quinn from being, like, mashed to death with an anchor. And Power Girl, so, you were fine when I saved you from being clobbered by that giant anchor. Why did you swallow all that water? Harley, I really like mouth to mouth.
Oh my god, Harley hits on everybody in this issue.
Oh my god, nobody is safe. She even tries to, like, have an orgy with the Justice League.
The Wonder Woman quote, like, the it was something about the lasso, right? Like,
oh, I don't, yes. It's totally true. And then she makes, like, a male version of herself, too, and he's just, like, a complete asshole.
She gets a genie's lamp, and
yeah,
it's Harley Quinn with a genie.
Yeah, she can make as many ones. Oh, there, I found it. So she, Wonder Woman lassos her, and she, like, whips it around. She's like, oh, this is more like it. Are we going to do what I think we're going to do? Because this has been a fantasy of mine for a very long time. We're taking you in, putting you behind bars. Like in the Fortress of Solitude? Wink, wink. No, like jail, court and all. Jeez Louise, you guys are a bunch of sticks in the mud. Like, literally, he's totally right, hits on everybody. And my favorite is when she's able to talk to dogs and her dog talks shit to her. He's like, dude, when you fart, man. Like, oh my god. But yeah, she hits on everyone. It's freaking great. Honestly, it's like another one where I'm like, this is awesome. She turns invisible so she can go to the Justice League meeting.
Oh yeah.
And pants is Green Lantern. And then the other thing I'll say too is when she goes into the different areas, it's a switch between artists, which yep. I actually really liked. It made it feel more separate, like it was its own scenario and everything, and I definitely really like that. But
Amanda Connor actually does one of the.
Does she really? Yeah. Is it one of them? I know she does the male
Harley.
That makes sense. But yeah, she like the first wish she asks for is to have the same size like upper region as Power Girl, and she's like, holy heaping honeydews, and then falls over. She's like, okay, not like I imagined. I changed my mind. I wish they were gone. No, wait. But yeah, of course, like the normal. The other one is, too, is when she makes the Joker sweet and caring, and she fucking hates him. Yeah. And he actually starts crying in one panel over it, and she, like, throws him out. But, I mean, it was awesome. Like, I suggest reading it. It's hilarious. Like, I'm hoping they do, like, a trade paperback with her, with the one-shots that they did with her, because
it was... Oh, that'd be really great. Like, all the Harley one-shots.
Mm-hmm. They were really funny. So now, for my final review, we're going to go back to some manga, kind of, sort of, I guess. But Ruby finally came out with one. Nat had a special surprise for me when I walked in the door. It was great. So I want to say this. It's based on the show, so I don't necessarily know, like, I follow the show pretty well, and I know the beginning very well, because I've only watched it, like, 14 times. It's, like, 2 hours, okay? It makes it super easy, but, art style, just to begin with, I love it. I think it's great. It's definitely got it's awesome. And it's just, I was honestly, like, I was reading some of it, and I'm like, Like, the first few pages, I was like, all right, cool. And then I was kind of flipping through it more, and I was like, nope, this is great. This is fucking wonderful. There's, like, some side stories that you didn't get. I honestly feel like sometimes there's a little bit better explanation in this as well than the series itself. So they managed to integrate it into the story instead of what they would do in the show is they would have mini episodes explaining certain things to you. And in this, they just kind of explain it as part of it, and it's awesome. I love the look of everybody. Ruby Rose is pretty awesome looking, and like the first page that you get to is like this awesome, like fold out.
That's really cool. It's like a double cover.
Uh huh. And it has all of them, which is awesome. And then on the inside of it, it has all of their explanations and everything. And it even tells you about the fact that it's a high caliber sniper scythe, that's what Ruby Rose has.
That's awesome.
And nice. Then semblance is speed, and they give you your semblance and everything, which is really awesome. Double damage payback. Huh, I wonder if that's literally the name. Like, I've already felt like I've learned more about the series from reading this, because it gives little blurbs of backstories to why Ruby started wearing her cloak, with her uniform, and, like, a little more backstory to Weiss and her family.
Is it an origin story, too? Like, could you jump into this having no history of Ruby?
Totally. It starts right at the beginning. It actually integrates in the trailers at the very beginning of most of them.
Okay.
Which is pretty funny. And then you get, at the very end, a story that I've never seen before about a Grimm that has the ability to possess other Grimm and other inanimate objects. And the other thing is, too, is I learned that the Grimm, I didn't realize that one, in Weiss's trailer, she actually fought a Grimm, and it was one that could possess things.
Okay.
So it's like, I feel like it's, I don't know how much of it is actually technically canon for Ruby.
Right.
But I feel like I know and understand more now about Ruby from reading this, even though it says it's based on it. And I'm like, but I feel like this is true, because this all makes more things make more sense.
Cool.
So I can definitely say that I will keep reading. And yeah, if you've never seen Ruby or anything like that, you can pick this up and read it, and it's freaking great.
Awesome.
And then you should probably also watch Ruby, because that's also freaking great. Because you don't get, the one thing I will say is you don't get the awesome voice actresses, which Barbara Dunkelman's like my freaking hero, and she's my favorite character, and it's all just wonderful. But yeah,
awesome.
I would highly suggest it.
Cool.
That sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Let's say bye then.
Bye.